Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Session Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. As BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome Black, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, you mob. Too deadly. Jump straight into it. We're talking about innovative new program puts First Nation talent on pathways to success. We're talking Indigenous Literacy Foundation, and we're going to talk to a new talent program manager, and no other than DM Darren Moncrief, who's holding the reins there, and talk about this space. And we have Darren on the line. Darren, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. How's things?
Yeah, really good, my brother. Really good. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Okay. No worries.
Go ahead. Who your mob, where you from, brother?
Oh, right now. Okay. So, I'm from Carnarvon in WA, Northwest WA.
Yes.
My mob is Wadjuri on my grandfather's side from Mikatara. He's born near Bellaly. And my grandmother is Yingida and Taragri. She's born in Medallia. Mm. And my mum was born in Mikatara as well. So, yeah, that's my people.
Beautiful. And big shout out to your people and beautiful footprint. Yep. Thank you very much. Look, congratulations. Yep. So, new appointment for yourself as the new talent program manager for Indigenous Literacy Foundation. Congratulations. Yep. So, how long have you been holding the reins?
Thank you. Yes, Trev. Yeah, I've been here on board since January. Signed on in December last year, and signed on as the Talent Pathways Program Manager.
Beautiful.
So I'm pretty excited. It's new for me.
Yes.
This sort of role. I'm not used to it, but I'm here.
My brother, we are students for life. Don't worry about that.
That's it, eh? Always, never stop learning.
Exactly. Now, your former hat, journo, was Courier Mail, is that correct?
I was sports editor at Courier Mail for 6 years.
Okay.
And previous to that, 2-3 years.
Okay.
So a couple of stints there, and also freelancing from the Northern Territory and Kimberley's WA as well.
Fantastic, brother. Beautiful. So here you are now with Indigenous Literacy Foundation as the new talent program manager. So let's talk about the innovative new program that puts First Nation talent on pathways to success. So tell us about this space and what is the opportunity for our young ones coming through?
Yeah, it's aimed at people in the 17 years to 24 years age bracket.
Mm.
And that's like after school and like before, you know, really settling into work mode,
yes,
you know, for a job.
Yep.
And in remote communities. So basically, it's to equip participants with all the tools they need to become publishers, graphic designers, or writers. You know,
good.
So that's the thing there. That's basically it. So at the moment, we're starting. This is the first time it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
First time for the ILF.
Yep.
At the moment, we've got four participants. One from Amanbiji, one from Bulla, and they are about 180 kilometres west of the WA-NT border in NT.
Yes.
Okay. And one from Tiwi Islands and also one from Katherine. So at the moment it's just Northern Territory.
Mm.
But, you know, it's early days, but the plan is to expand, you know.
Yeah, well, we're talking about building a foundation here for an ongoing program, innovative program. We are in the 21st century and beginning's half done, my brother, is what I'm picking up. And look, fantastic. How did this come about? The four participants, did they approach you, or did ILF approach them, or what was the format in regarding the program as such?
Yeah, well, how it works, is, and this is actually key to the ILF success, Trevor,
yes.
is that community comes to the ILF,
good.
Not the other way around.
Yeah.
So in a lot of organisations, it's top-down, you know, like, this is what we want to do and this is how we're going to do it. But the ILF is different in that it comes from grassroots,
beautiful.
Community people.
Yep.
You know, like, groups come and say, hey, we got some people who want to do this, we want to do that, and we go, no worries, let's come on board, let's talk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally community-driven. And that's what I love about it. It just when I saw that, I go, oh, man, that's just totally
good.
Up my alley, you know? I just really want to... So that's the thing. So communities, you know, there might be reading groups, there might be some groups in various locations that they really want to sort of, like, I guess, formalise learning and in the writing and publishing space.
Yes.
And they go, what can we do? And then ILF is on the right, is always there, you know? And so that's the thing. That's the beauty about it. It comes from community. And
love it.
That's the success.
That's
been the success, I think, of the ILF.
Yeah, look, and they've got the writing on the board and look fantastic. Now, with the innovative new program, how long's the program run for these participants?
This one, we're going 2 years.
2 years, okay, yes.
Okay, yep. And the goal, like I said, is to equip youngsters, you know, with these tools, but not just, you know, like the old bad old days. I mean, you sort of grew up and, you know, do a 6-week course or you can do mechanics and then you're left to your own devices,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
This is different. We want to see it through to employment, to paid
exactly.
employment, and even along the
positive
way.
Positive outcomes, yep.
Yeah, the youngsters will be paid for their time and their work, you know.
Beautiful.
Like, there's also audio work where they can translate language, you know, for their books into audio and whatnot. So yeah, that's kind of multidimensional, and that's the key to it.
And do the participants fly in, or do you communicate with them via Zoom, or how does it work if they're remote?
Yeah, a bit of both.
Okay.
Right?
Yes, yes.
Just actually 2 weeks ago, we all met up in Sydney for the first time.
Good.
So prior to that, we was on Zoom team meetings, you know, like the old Zoom meetings, meeting each other. So we familiarised and sort of started the process there. And then the first weekend in April, they came to Sydney and we spent a week together.
Good.
Doing our workshops and just being with each other, doing all sorts of great activities, you know, ILF, and also post-work, you know, go out for a feed or we'll watch a movie.
Yeah.
And then the plan, we're also going to meet up again in Alice Springs in August.
Yes.
And also community visits. So I'll probably go to those communities and
spend
a few days there, you know, just to get on the ground and...
Walk a mile in their moccasins, brother.
Hey?
Walk a mile in their moccasins.
That's it, brother.
Exactly,
that's
brother.
It, you know?
Yeah, beautiful.
So, and, you know, check the hardware, check their software. They're all up to date with the equipment so they can do what they want to do. So that's...
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So with the participants at the table, you said four. Is the applications are still open, or is it done for this first set of programs, or where do we go from here?
Yeah, I think this intake will hold for a while.
Okay.
That's how it works. Yeah, this intake will hold for a while because there's only one of me.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah. So that's the plan. And then I guess, you know, in a few months' time and a bit more, we'll start putting the feelers out for others to join, you know, to come around for the next sort of intake.
So, and I'm thinking these participants, as they go through and come 2 years down the track, they can be mentors for the next group that's coming through, I would think, yeah?
Well, that's the thing, you know, like small communities that they see someone from Buller
exactly.
community.
Exactly.
So, wow, you say, so you got this book done. You say, how do you do that? And then I go, well, let me show you.
Yeah,
you know,
gotcha.
You know, this is the whole thing, is that whole of community approach, you know, which can only benefit our people. That's the thing.
Well, success breeds success. That's what it's all about. And I always say that we need more black success in this country, not only on the football field. So this is a great industry in that sense. You know, new pathways. Innovation is the word there for new talent pathways program. So look yeah. fantastic. And it gives these deadly participants to have a platform to look up and a vision for the future.
That's it. And you know, as much as I love sport, like in the previous life, you know, always sport, and you know, people in that space. But there's more to life than sport, you know, and kicking goals, catching a ball, scoring points, you know. There's a lot of our people who just don't really care for sport
sure.
as well.
Yeah, sure.
And that's, we gotta you know, think about them too. It's just not, yeah.
And when you're talking about innovative new program, well, we are talking about a forever-changing world. Here we are in the 21st century. And look, there are industries out there that have not even started. In about 6 months' time, a new industry will pop up, so to speak. So it gives these deadly participants an opportunity to look at and look up. And then when we're talking about the longest-living culture on planet Earth, there's a dovetail into the 21st century new industries, I would think, brother.
That's right, my boss. And also, there's also obviously other Aboriginal organisations in this space, and we sort of pulling all together, you know, in like, okay, so what can you offer? What can we offer? What can happen here? And, you know, just and the goal is for the participants, you know. It's not to cover ourselves in glory. It's to really get our people in community opportunities for our people in community, and that's the overriding aspect of everything we do, or everything that I want to do too with this program.
Yeah, fantastic, brother. Yeah. Now, Indigenous Literacy Foundation, where's their head office?
They are based in Sydney.
Sydney. And where are you based, my brother?
I am in Gumbanya country, which is otherwise known as Coffs Harbour.
Okay, right here, brother.
Halfway between Sydney and Brisbane.
So as a new, fantastic, and you as a new talent program manager for Indigenous Literacy Foundation, you and Coffs Harbour, head office in Sydney, we're talking about participants remotely. There it is straight away, operating, you know, not in the same office, and thanks to all the W's, World Wide Web and what have you, and Zooming, and there it is, we can still run an organisation and empower our people.
That's right. You know, technology can be a wonderful tool for that, you know. I mean, last time I was talking to you, we were talking about you getting into Cairns, getting elected on the Cairns.
Cairns Regional Council, that's right, exactly. And there was a print that came out, and you were based in Thursday Island at the time.
I was, yeah. Norfolk, Horn Island.
Yeah, too deadly.
And I still owe you that coffee, I think.
That's right, brother. And I know where you live now, Coffs Harbour, brother. I got your name and your number.
That's it.
Hey, look, good. Congratulations. Good yarning with you. And enjoy the new role. I think Indigenous Literacy Foundation have scored well in having you on board. I think you've scored well as well, Talent Program Manager. And big shout out to those four participants. And they're setting the pathway, the foundation for the future innovative new program. So good luck. Enjoy the journey, brother. And please keep in touch, eh?
Thank you. I will, Trev. And I just want to really, really shout out to the ILF crew, you know. Ben Bowen, Brother Boy, CEO there. Zoe, Kasim, sister. You know, there's a lot of crew behind the scenes work that they've been working so hard long before I got there. So
yes.
Shout out to them too, you know.
Fantastic, my brother. Well, good yarn with you. Take care. Keep smiling. Talk soon, brother.
Take care, my brother. See
Take
ya.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn there. And that's the deadly brother, Darren Moncrief, former journo, Koori Mail, after 6-odd years. But now he's the new Talent Pathways Project Manager for ILF, that's Indigenous Literacy Foundation, and talking about the First Nation participants from remote communities in the Northern Territory have taken part in an official launch in an inaugural workshop at the Talent Pathways Program in Sydney with Indigenous Literacy Foundation, and working closely with that man there, that's Darren Moncrief, and so down to earth and full of knowledge and also strong in culture. So fantastic. That is a fantastic ingredient regarding for success. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-422. 416. Call that number. Yarn is yours truly, Trevor Tim, 2012 Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM, Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Big shout out to the NERS team, and also big shout out to First Nation radio stations across this deadly country, a deadly black network. You can also contact myself on that text number, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. But Jan Upstrong here on your daily program, National Talk Black.
She sits in her corner, singing herself to sleep, wrapped in all of the promises that no one seems to keep. She no longer cries to herself, no tears left to wash away. Just diaries of empty pages, feelings gone astray. But she will say,
till everything burns, while everyone screams, burning their lies, burning my dreams. All of this hate and all of this pain,
welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say Yarn Up Strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call. Yarn Up yours truly. That's Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. We're going to catch up with Yarn. We've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning. Are you there? How are you?
Okay, mate.
Good.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm well, my friend. Thank you very much for asking. How are you travelling out of Gordonville? Beautiful weather here in far north Queensland at the moment, brother.
Yeah, the weather's got a bit kinder. That he's dropping. We've got a bit of cool and a little bit of breeze. And so, you know, last week, Wolf rang up. We lost. We had a funeral for the last of our eldest elders here, a lady.
Yeah, condolences to the family. Yes, brother.
So thank you. And the funeral there was a good, and the weather was really kind to us.
Yeah.
And the funeral went ahead and everything. And then it came and I'd had a couple of surgeries and stitches, and previous funerals I've been on the shovel too, but the boys all filled the thing in. And then normally we put a, I'm reporting from the cemetery war zone, what I'm calling it.
Okay, war zone, yep.
The council have gone and put all these signs up around the cemetery, rules and regulations. But when it comes to putting the surround around, what we call making the bed, the timber frame around the burial mound, the soil there, one of the family said it made an announcement that I didn't know it got that bad, that they weren't allowed to put a border around the thing.
Around the grave?
Yeah, we weren't allowed to put a frame around it.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yep.
And actually, the council had a big sign up in the cemetery about council. I just want to read a little bit of this sign, mate.
Go ahead.
I really want to read it because it's something like graveyard Gestapo. There's no other word for it. The council guideline of temporary memorials. The council approved temporary memorials are permitted in the section for 12 months from the date of burial. Just 12 months after that. Anyway, and it says white wooden cross house in non-breakable thing, a foot high only in a small pot. Receptacle must be there. And it gets down, fresh or artificial flowers and fully contained within the receptacle are permitted. And then it said no other adornments, memorials, pots or borders are permitted. Around my wife's grave there, I've got a little plastic fence around the thing just to mark the border.
Which is, by these instructions, is a no-go zone. You're not supposed to do that, is that what I'm picking up?
Yeah, that's right. There's people say law and law, L-O-R-E and L-A-W.
Yeah.
Well, there's human rights, like left and right, and there's rights, the way things are done, the R-I-T-E-S, rights. Am I right or what?
Yeah.
I'm trying to say hello to Selwyn there. He talked about articulating. I remember his last call there, Glaze Selwyn.
Yeah.
And then it goes on the Gestapo outfit. Strict compliance to guidelines for temporary memorials will be enforced. And council reserves the right to remove non-compliant temporary memorials or any items that do not conform to council's guidelines for temporary memorials and dispose of irretrievably. Now, this sign is like a response to what I've said to you previously on there, that I got the
when you put your cross up over your beautiful other half's grave.
Yeah.
And you feel as though that maybe this is the response to that, and laying down some golden rules in regard to the cemetery space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the council had them, and I said, I want them back. And I got they cut off the cement and cut the thing off about 3 foot off the bottom of the aluminium thing. And they cut them off, and I got them back at home, and they're out in the street. And I'm preparing a thing in full view so that they're going to be an embarrassment to the council. They shouldn't be in my home, but they should be in the cemetery, and they shouldn't have been moved because... But anyway, and it says, and so this is the response, because I got them back off the council, they're saying if anybody else has something, they won't give them back. It's like it's terrible what they're doing. They will, and so we had a really important elder, and the bed couldn't be made properly because they just left a pile of dirt there. So if it really rains heavy, it's just going to get splattered and messed up, you know.
It's like waiting for the response from the Chinese for the tariff for the USA.
Yeah, mate, I'm really suffering internally for this.
They
don't know what they do to people. On Thursday is 5 years since I lost her on the 24th, one day before Anzac Day. And we've just had an Easter and all the, you know, the cross and things and Anzac Day is a Memorial Day. Well, my house is, my yard is got two crosses in it because because me and her had no kids and we got a poor mob, or, you know, because of what's been done to me, no one should be in charge of my my funeral plan because of the problems I'm having. They don't want me in the cemetery, as I can see it. I'm banished, you know. I mean, what a thing to do to people. And the council review, internal review, there's a whole string of mayors, including Amy Eden, that have had the chance to reinstate those crosses.
I'm thinking along the lines, probably potential missiles come monsoonal cyclone time is what I'm thinking. But there's got to be, the rules and regulations are there, so to speak.
Yeah, but they're wrong. When they're wrong, this is what I mean, Trev. This is the whole thing. They can just say...
They move the goalposts, is what you're saying.
It's wrong. It's wrong, their rules. Murrays have done their own things. We're not in a really rich position.
Sure.
And we've had a few deaths. There's one niece has lost her husband, car fell on him. They're trying to get money. You know, they're going about the cost of living. The cost of death is pretty extraordinary too.
Sure.
And the aluminium crosses... Now, things about necessity is the mother of invention, and to evolve from wooden crosses into permanent aluminium crosses, which look tidy and they're not quite grey colour and they're not shining after they sat there. That should be allowed because it's permanent. You buy a grave, you want something permanent on it.
Sure.
But what
exactly.
The council, the signs are saying, is you can't have anything unless you have what they say. It's dictating. We're fighting dictatorship, which is why these rules are no good, especially when they're dealing with such emotional thing. And this council think they're picking on me because I'm standing up against these land rapists, grave robbers. You know, they're upsetting the whole tribe, the whole Edinji people, the whole family know what's being done and they're inciting racial hatred. Now, I've talked to the police a long time ago, and I want to talk to you. There must be some law that no matter if the council pulls crosses out, if there's a law, that doesn't mean that the council are not allowed to be prosecuted for wrongdoing. I wrote a human rights case 6 months ago. I've never heard from it. I'm off into town today to get a new phone so I have reliable communication because I cannot afford to be cut off in the middle of important negotiations.
Yeah, sure.
Yep. Right.
Well, you fight a good fight, brother. You fight for what you believe in. And
So I'm just saying that we lost a really our best, oldest lady here, and to see her, see the look on everybody's faces when we just laid, and we couldn't put a border around. We can't all afford them big marble things, mate.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like I said, it's very expensive to leave this earth. Don't worry about that.
Oh, yeah. And I was there till late, mate. People know I'm involved, and I come home. I didn't go to the wake thing because I'm just in a strange space because I'm sort of outcast in a way. But that's all right. And I talked to people. I went back to the cemetery, and people were telling me all the problems they had. One lady lost her young fellow, and they'd taken all the kids' toys off the grave, you know. I don't know what they're doing to people, Trev, so I can come on here and say what they're doing.
Say what you feel, yep, exactly. All right, brother. Well, thank you for your call. Thank you for your yarn, and you're putting it out there, and you're continuing with your fight. But, look, keep in touch, stay strong, and we'll yarn soon, Tony.
Thanks for that time, Trevor.
Thank you, brother. Take care, eh? Bye-bye.
Yep, you too.
Tony Gibbs having his say out of Gordonville and, put his lovely lady to rest. He mentioned 5 years ago and just talking about having a cross at her grave, but the rules and regulation he feels are coming from council. I'm thinking not respecting the First Nations space is what I'm picking up from Tony. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Let's go with Alone With You, Jimmy Little. Do enjoy.
together. Close the door to the past forever. Watching you touch mean that much. I'm alone with you tonight. I'm alone with you tonight. I can't always remember what I say. I can't always take it, having to pay. Watching you walk, you know you're really attractive. I'm alone with you tonight. I'm alone. Out, you still don't know. All I have is music to let me go. I'm alone.
On your mob, it's me, Bush Taka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, Bush Taka Bungie, thank you very much. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yanap Strong, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns and Yidinji country. Yanap with your host, your baldy one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray Finley Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And like I said, 1 hour program live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns and Yidinji country. BBM, Bummer Bib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yanap Strong, your mob. You can text the brother as well, 0457140550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987FM. All right, looking at ABC News, what's making headlines, growth in indigenous businesses spurs new wave, but barriers remain. We were talking about, this story comes from Indigenous Communities reporter Nakari Thorpe. Nakari Thorpe, yarning up here strong, talking about, when Tara Croker entered the native food and beverage industry 2 years ago, she discovered Indigenous representation was less than 2% and that the benefits were not going back to community. It ignited a spark in the Wiradjuri woman. She launched her startup, Yala Sparkling, in February 2023. Ms. Croker is a part of the new wave of Indigenous entrepreneurs entering the industry for the first time. For her, it's been a challenge to educate the market, consumers and customers of the importance for Indigenous voices to be at the forefront. There's a lot of other businesses out there, unfortunately, in the black clouding space, using language or Indigenous artwork or these flavours that are not coming from communities, she says. So that's an issue because we're already competing against companies that already have some traction in the market. Her experience isn't alone. Business missing out on growth, a discussion paper, the First Economy from not-for-profit First Nation Foundation, FNF, the sole Indigenous financial education provider in Australia, found that despite significant growth in the Indigenous businesses sector, challenges remain around access to capital, lack of culturally safe support, and entrenched racism. I haven't got generations of business owners or entrepreneurs around me, so I'm sort of entering this as the first one in my family, Ms. Croker said. I grew up in housing commission, so I certainly do see in myself that I do have a scarcity mindset. First Nation entrepreneurs are fighting the white boys club of finance. Major banks and venture capital firms say they want to finance more Indigenous businesses as this sector grows at a rate higher than the economy. But those from within First Nation enterprises say the finance sector has a lot to improve. A research conducted by the Dylan Dewar Centre at the University of Melbourne revealed that First Nation businesses contributed $16 billion to the Australian economy and employed over 116,000 people from 2021 to 2022. Further research from the centre found in 2022 there were more than 13,600 active Indigenous identified firms. FNF Chief Executive Wiradjuri Man Phil Usher said while the industry was booming, a lack of financial literacy and education was also preventing many businesses from their prosperity. We look at one, maybe two generations above and their own reserves and missions. They were paid in rations, alcohol, tobacco, sugar, Mr. Usher said. We had the stolen wages, but what we're seeing now is Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people doing well in the workplace. We're having good careers, but we don't have that generation to ask about money. He's working to upskill Indigenous business owners to close this generational wealth gap. But to achieve this, he needs governments to broaden their support beyond its primary focus of remote jobs. While these areas are important, they don't impact all First Nations people, he says. They should be looking at what's next for us once people get into the job and they're moving across the continuum. He said financial literacy was the sweet spot. There's an opportunity where there's this cohort that's really on the cusp of doing something amazing and they just need a little bit more education. Fiona Harrison agreed that education was an important tool to be implemented for Indigenous businesses, but said it's also critical to look beyond this. It's about what do we do once we give them the mentoring, because it just seems to stop and then you're left to your own devices and apply for grants, she says. Ms. Harrison owns an Indigenous female-led social entrepreneur enterprise, Chocolate on Purpose, that blends gourmet chocolate with certified native botanicals to connect country and embrace storytelling. The fear that our old people felt is very real in our DNA. I'm at so risk advised that I'm working against myself, she said. I appreciate that there's always a learning and I will never stop learning, but the frustration is how big a tool belt do I need. inquiry to a pivotal moment. Mr. Usher put his concerns to a federal parliamentary inquiry into the economic self-determination and opportunity for First Nations Australians last year. And in November, the inquiry made 22 recommendations, including funding a national data set to understand the contribution of First Nation businesses and developing new ways to access finance and capital. The Federal Indigenous Affairs Body, the National Indigenous Australians Agency, and the government delivered a range of business support programs at different stages of development, including financial literacy, mentoring and training. However, it told the ABC it was committed to looking at more can be done to support Indigenous businesses and was considering the inquiry's recommendation. So we're talking about another gap there in regard to black entrepreneurs. And look, hats off to all our black people out there, or to anybody jumping out there into the business world. As I said, as we know, 95% of people work for 5% of people. So when you're talking about going into business, you are virtually out there in the forefront, you know, stepping outside your comfort zone in more ways than one. And the figures say that in regarding percentages of businesses. And when you're talking about business in the first 2 to 5 years, either success, make or break sort of thing, you know. So it is very daunting, but hats off to all the entrepreneurs, especially our black entrepreneurs, stepping in that space. Maybe you want to yarn about what's happening in your space. All is here on your daily program, National Talk Black. And that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, and I'm with your host, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Curry, live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumbabip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, your mob too deadly. 1-800-422-416.
Bogami, Gurindi, me painted on this country. Long time before Lord Westy, all about land belonging to we. Poor Bogami, Gurindi. Poor bugger black fella this country. Long time work, no wages we. Work for good old Lord Westy. Little bit plow to guarantee for Gurindi from Lord Westy. Our poor Bogami.
Oh, bugger me, Gurindji. My name Vincent Lingihari. Me talk all about Gurindji. Dagorago place for we, home for we, Gurindji.
But poor bugger black fella this country, government boss him talk long we. Build your house with electricity, but at White Hill for can't you see, what a creek belong to Lord Westy. Oh, poor bugger me.
Poor bugger me, Lingyari, still me talk long Gurindji. Dagorago place for we, home for we, Gurindji.
Poor bugger me, Gurindji, up come Mr. Prankadi, up skull too and talk long we, give it and long Gurindji, build him house and plant him tree long Wadi Creek for Gurindji. But poor bugger black fella this country, government law him talk long we, can't keep it land long black fella see. Only spoil him, Gurindji, oh poor bugger me, Gurindji. Poor bugger me, Gurindji, Peter Nixon talk long we. Buy your own land, Gurindji, buy him back from Lord Westy, oh poor bugger me, Gurindji. Poor bugger black fella Gurindji, suppose we buy him back country, what you reckon proper fee, might be plower to guarantee from Gurindji to Lord Westy, oh poor bugger me.
Oh, into Tipanting Alung, and not a pring and young of a we are a Monday, all a poor bugger me fella Gurindji.
Come on, old man, please dance for me. Help me shake a leg for a robbery. Dancing to the rhythm of your didgeridoo. As he dances. sound of pepper sticks just clicking in time. I can feel your heartbeat and it's the same as mine. Way back to dream time. All right. And oh, oh, dream time. Dream for me. Send your spirit of this great land to me. And oh, oh, dream time. Shake a leg for robbery. Please tell me, oh man, tell me my story. Of two brothers, Kuyul, R, and Omri. Ancestral beings come out of dream time.
Beautiful track there. Daily Voice of Barry Cedric. Big shout out, Barry Cedric. Good morning, Yarrabah Mob. Hope you're all well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Okay, looking at the news here again. The Guardian, Australian News. Nobody's going to walk with her. Can Jacinta Namujimbo Price work with Indigenous organisation if she becomes a minister? Protesters have greeted Price on the campaign trail and leading Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander campaigners, saying having the coalition senator in the Indigenous Affairs portfolio would be a disaster. Jacinta Price climbed the ranks of the coalition as the face of the Indigenous Voice No campaign, but some accuse her of throwing her own people under the bus. The Western Australian city of Bunbury in the conservative liberal stronghold of Forrest isn't known for its radical activism, but when the local golf club hosted the outspoken Northern Territory Senator Jacinta Price for the LNP campaign, even last week, dozens of Aboriginal people turned up to protest. Charmaine Williams, a Noongar woman, was among them. "We are trying as a community to build a relationship with everybody that lives here," she told Guardian Australia. "We have our ups and our downs with racism, but we are making some leeway. I just felt a bit disturbed about how Price's visit was going to affect our community." It was the second time in as many months that the centre had been targeted by Aboriginal protesters. Price, the shadow minister for Indigenous Australians and government efficiency, has quickly climbed the ranks of the coalition after becoming the face of the No campaign during the Indigenous Voice to Parliament referendum. But the idea is that one broad support in conservative circles have made her deeply unpopular with sections of the Indigenous community who accuse her of throwing her own people under the bus has led some questions how the fractured relationship would affect her ability to manage the Indigenous affairs portfolio. So that's the word there from The Guardian. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? But you may have to do that tomorrow. Katrina Trevor's about to sign off. I thank you very much for your company, your mob. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Don't forget, 24/7, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550, or at Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. With that, your mob, thank you for your company. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And stay tuned for the news coming up via NERS, National News Radio Service. And big shout out to the NERS team. Thank you very much. Too deadly, you mob. Thank you.
Show me. Rap, rap, my bro.